I'm Evan Knappen, and welcome to Gun Lawyer. So we have a bit of news here that I want to share, and that is that, I don't know if you're aware or not, but we are the Third Circuit. New Jersey is part of the Third Circuit under the federal circuits, and the Third Circuit Court of Appeals struck down Pennsylvania laws that ban 18 to 20-year-olds from carrying firearms in public during a state of emergency. And this ruling, of course, is part of the power of the magnificent Bruin decision by St. Thomas, you know, Justice Thomas, and it's having a good effect. So this case is actually at the appellate level, so even higher than the circuit court level. Now, the parties to that law, the government, who's never likes it when one of their laws is struck down and people gain freedom, even in Pennsylvania, they're looking to try to get a rehearing of the full court to hear it. But right now, it is a win both in the trial court and the appellate court. So one of the questions is, does this have any effect on New Jersey? And you bet it does. And actually, it only enhances what is already the law that you may find somewhat surprising. You see, New Jersey's carry permit law does not have an age restriction limiting individuals to having to be 21 years old. So under New Jersey's carry law, an 18-year-old or older can apply for a carry license. And if that person is even attempted to be denied because they're under 21, well, here we have a federal court decision right in the circuit, our circuit right there, that says that law, similar to that law that Pennsylvania has, is unconstitutional. But we don't even have to necessarily reach the constitutionality aspect of it, because unlike the permit to purchase a handgun, the permit to carry a handgun under NJS 2C58-4 does not have an age restriction. So if you are under 18, I mean, if you're 18 or over, not under 18, we don't want to go there, but if you're 18 or over, an adult under the law, you can apply for a carry in New Jersey. And frankly, that's how it has been basically since Jersey had a carry law. You could simply be 18. And there were many folks that I recall that worked in security that were over 18, and they were able to even get carry permits in the bad old days. And that didn't change. What can become a question, and what can become, you know, well, how do I acquire a gun? And I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. But as far as applying, in order to apply, let's talk about that. You're going to need, of course, your photo, and you're going to need your prints or your SBI number, right? And you can get your firearms ID card at 18, so you can get that, no problem. Then you're going to have to pass the CCARE, which is the core competency qualification. And you do not need to own a firearm in order to pass CCARE. You can take CCARE at any of the ranges that have the instructors, particularly We Shoot, by the way, in Lakewood, offers this. And as long as you're 18 or over, you can take the course. You can even rent firearms. You specifically can rent, temporarily possess and rent a firearm specifically under New Jersey law. And you can find that with specificity under NJS 2C58-3.1, where it specifically says that an individual can be temporarily transferred not only a rifle or shotgun, but actually specifically says handgun there by that licensed dealer. And you can also, under another section right after it, NJS 2C58-3.2, you can also be 18 or older and get training. get training and temporarily possess while training. So the law does not prohibit somebody who is 18 or older from temporarily being transferred a firearm or being trained with a firearm, in this case specifically a handgun, so that you can pass your CCAR without having to yourself actually own or possess the handgun in order to get this process going. You can do that, and I would highly recommend that you check out We Shoot and take one of their classes and get your CCAR certification. Now, once you have a carry and apply, some of you may say, well, okay, but how do I get a handgun? If you're 18 or older, federal law prohibits currently a dealer from selling a handgun to somebody who's under 21. Now, I happen to believe that that law is probably going to get tossed because they already have these decisions challenging state laws that have such restrictions. But for now, a dealer is still bound by the federal law that prohibits a dealer from selling a gun to someone who is under 21. And New Jersey state law prohibits someone who's under 21 from getting a pistol purchase permit. Now, are there any loopholes around that? And the answer is yes, there are. So one such loophole would be if you have inherited the handgun. With inheritance, there's no paperwork registration or anything like that. And if you've inherited a handgun and you're over 18, right, but you're 18 or older, and you've inherited that handgun lawfully by way of inheritance, then you can utilize that gun to carry, and you can put that firearm on your application where it asks to list a gun that you intend to carry. You also could possess a handgun if you lawfully resided in a state outside of New Jersey in which there was no prohibition on individuals from making a private sale to you in that state when you were 18 or older. So if you lawfully acquired that handgun in another jurisdiction and then you came to New Jersey with it, that gun is still lawfully yours to possess. You don't have to be 21 to possess a handgun. So that's another way to have a handgun that you could carry. The other way is very interesting, and that is you could go outside of New Jersey. You have to physically go there, let's say to Pennsylvania, and you can buy a black powder revolver, like a Remington 1858 revolver, for example. And if you buy the specific models, there are these guns that for which there are conversion cylinders that convert a black powder firearm to a cartridge-firing firearm. So let's say you drive to Pennsylvania and you buy the Remington, and it is a cap-and-ball black powder revolver that you're buying. Now, on that purchase outside of New Jersey, you do not need a pistol purchase permit to make that acquisition because the law of New Jersey no longer applies to you. You're now in the other jurisdiction, in this case, Pennsylvania. And you can buy a black powder cap and ball revolver with no problem. You're an adult. And federal law does not consider those to be modern firearms, and Pennsylvania state law doesn't consider those to be modern firearms. And if you make that acquisition outside New Jersey, you're lawfully making that acquisition, and then you can bring that gun back to New Jersey because New Jersey has an exemption that lets you travel from your place of purchase back to New Jersey. So you're now transporting it lawfully. You acquired it legally. And once you get to New Jersey, you can simply get one of the conversion cylinders. There's various companies. Taylor makes a conversion. Karst makes an excellent conversion. And it will convert it to basically if it's a 44 black powder, they have a conversion to 45 long Colt. Then there's, if it's a 36 caliber, they have conversions to 38 caliber. And the conversions will let you fire modern cartridge ammunition. Now, if you're in New Jersey and you have a percussion cap and ball revolver, well, New Jersey already views that as a handgun and a firearm. Because New Jersey laws are so strict that they don't exempt from their definition of firearm antique firearms, cap and ball firearms, reproduction of black powder firearms. They are the same. So if you have a cap and ball Civil War revolver, it's the same as having a Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum in terms of how that firearm is regarded. It is simply a handgun and a firearm. So by putting a conversion cylinder in it, you do not change this gun in any way under New Jersey law, because it's once a handgun, it's always a handgun. You're not manufacturing a handgun. It already was a handgun. All you're doing is allowing it to accept modern ammunition instead of black powder, cap and ball ammunition, and that's fine. And that gun you can possess and use and shoot as you would any other handgun, and you do not need a pistol purchase for permit for it because it was acquired outside New Jersey, and that is the workaround. So these are three possibilities for someone who is under 21 but over 18 to lawfully have a handgun, and you can apply and get your carry permit. And it is not only not prohibited under the statute by age, but even if it was, such prohibition has been declared unconstitutional in the Third Circuit in the Pennsylvania case, and it is an appellate case. Now, they're looking to get that reconsideration, so to speak, done, and if that's even granted, and if it is, then they'd, of course, have to win that, and this is probably heading to the U.S. Supreme Court as we speak anyway. But having two wins on this in both the lower court and the appellate court bodes very well for this issue on the constitutional side. But like I said, there's no statutory prohibition. And you can, of course, look at these laws that I've pointed out to you in your pursuit of getting a carry permit in New Jersey. Boy, I know that when I was 18, if I had an opportunity to get a carry then, I sure would have. And you can do it now. So lucky you. That is an avenue that you may very well want to pursue. And if you choose to pursue it, make sure you give We Shoot a call. They are an indoor range in Lakewood. They have a fantastic facility. They have excellent trainers. That's where I got my C-Care certificate myself. So did my brother. So did my son. And they're just great there. And you can get that C-Care, which is required to demonstrate your core competency so that you can get your carry license. They offer that. They have a range. They also do rent firearms as well. So you can go there and practice. It is a great facility. It's really easy to get to right off of the parkway right there in Lakewood. So easy to get to if you're in Monmouth County, Ocean County, etc. It's a great resource. We need our ranges. It's really important that you give them your business so that we keep these ranges going, because without a place to shoot, well, then we can't shoot. So take advantage of this. Check out We Shoot. Go to their website at weshootusa.com for more information about the great We Shoot range in Lakewood. And as we're fighting these legal battles left and right, of course, your guardian standing at your side in New Jersey is the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. They are the number one gun rights group that is protecting your rights. They're the folks that are litigating in federal court over these issues, from assault firearms, so-called, which are, of course, modern sporting rifles, to large capacity magazines, which are really just standard capacity magazines, and on the carry killer bill that Governor Murphy passed in his hissy fit over the ability to now get carry licenses. So all these things are being challenged by the association. They have a full-time paid lobbyist on guard defending us and alerting us to shenanigans taking place in Trenton. So by Belong, you'll get those email alerts. You'll get the best gun newsletter in New Jersey that they put out. And you'll be proud to know you're a member and you are part of the solution. Check out anjrpc.org. And that's where you can join and learn all about your state association, which is the umbrella organization of the gun clubs in New Jersey. And that's what gives us force and power to fight these intrusions into our Second Amendment rights. And to better understand the laws, of course, here's when I shamelessly plug my book, which is New Jersey Gun Law, the Bible of New Jersey Gun Law. It's over 500 pages. It is over 120 topics, all question and answer, made to be user-friendly. It's a labor of love. I put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of man hours into this, and it's now in the 25th anniversary edition. So you want to get a copy of this? It's what's used by law enforcement and attorneys and judges and, of course, the persons who I wrote it for, which is you, the gun owner. And it is the key to helping you to navigate the insane matrix of gun laws that New Jersey has erected so that you don't become a victim of New Jersey gun laws. And on the front cover of the book, you'll see a QR code that you should scan. It is free. For free, you get to subscribe to the database, the subscriber archive, and you will be alerted for any new law changes. Usually within 24 hours, I get that out. And you can get any of the archived updates so your book stays current. That's the beauty of it. So pick up a book today and keep it current and subscribe for free to the subscriber portal. And you'll get all the updates and you can stay on top of it and be not fall into any of Jersey's traps that they lay for law-abiding citizens. If you want to buy a copy, you can find it at evannappin.com. That's right. That's my website. Easy to remember. evannappin.com. Now, I've received some really interesting letters. I always love to get the Ask Evan letters. And, of course, at the end of the show, we will have the GoFu, the ever-popular GoFu. But in response to last week's show, I got a number of folks asking questions and providing more information about the Glock 43X magazine problem. As you know, Glock 43X mags that were made prior to September, they actually hold 11 rounds instead of 10, and anyone who has one of those magazines is currently in violation of New Jersey's gun laws, in which you have a large capacity magazine, you're looking at a year and a half in state's prison as a maximum penalty and becoming a convicted felon and losing your gun rights. So it is a serious issue. You want to make sure none of your mags hold over 10, no matter what the mags say on them. Now, here's a letter, and this letter is from, this is from somebody who, Eric. And what Eric says is, good afternoon, Evan. After listening to last week's podcast, I checked all of my 43X magazines, and they all had the ability to hold 11 rounds. So there you go. From there, I continued to check other Glock magazines and found my G45 magazine to be doing the same thing. It seems to be only the factory Glock 10-round mags and not ones that were higher capacity and blocked. I've contacted Glock technical support, and they are replacing all my magazines. I would suggest anyone who has a factory 10-round Glock mag to check them regardless of model. So there's what Eric has to say. And then Keith wrote, regarding the ETS group Glock 43X 10-round mags. Evan, not really a question, but I wanted to share. Well, that's always good. We like to share information with our listeners. Not sure if anyone has brought this up or not, but since your episode about the Glock 43X factory magazines holding an additional round past 10, I checked, and sure enough, it held 11 rounds. I ordered two new magazines from a maker called ETS Group. They specifically said they're 10-round magazines. It even states it on the package. Come to find out, they actually hold 12 rounds. How nice. WTF, lesson learned. To all the 43X owners out there, don't skimp on mags. But buy factory after the fix. Hopefully this helps someone. Thanks. Well, thanks, Keith. That's a good warning. Watch out for the ETS mags that claim to be 10, but hold 12, according to Keith. So this is a treacherous area and a difficult situation. And if you want to hear a fuller explanation of the pitfalls and problems, listen to last week's show. But it does illustrate that this is widespread, and individuals that may have a magazine that's over the amount of rounds, not only could you get charged, but if you end up in a justified self-defense shooting, but they find out that your magazine is prohibited and you are breaking the law with that, that's going to not do you any favors in your case, right? It's going to be a problem. So you don't want to have that problem. You want to make sure that your magazines do not hold over 10 at this time until the association is successful, and I honestly believe they will be, in the elimination of New Jersey's standard capacity magazine ban that currently has one foot in the grave on the constitutional challenge being brought and litigated by the association. So, but until that time, it is the law, and you don't want to have a problem at any time with New Jersey gun law. And now I have a letter from Renee, and Renee says, regarding constitutional carry. First of all, awesome show. I listen every week. Thanks. Well, I appreciate that, Renee. In states with constitutional carry, does it only apply to residents of that state? Now, for the most part, constitutional carry applies to any person who's not otherwise a prohibited person, you know, per se, like a convicted felon or somebody like that. Now, if there are some states that have resident-only restrictions, you need to check before you travel to the specific state that you're going to make sure that it doesn't have residency only. But most of them are not resident only. Most are just, if you're a law-abiding person, you do not need a permission slip to carry your gun. And that's what constitutional carry is all about. As a matter of fact, if they did distinguish between residents and non-residents, it sounds to me like that itself is grounds for a separate constitutional challenge of equal protection. But it is always good to check and make sure that the states that you're traveling to are good to go for either constitutional carry or for reciprocity of the states regarding the licenses that you may have. Now, there are many states, there are states out there that have reciprocity, okay? But those are those states, including, you know, Pennsylvania, for example, that requires that your carry permit be issued to you as a resident. So a non-resident carry in Pennsylvania, in which they may recognize it. For example, Florida. If you have a Florida carry permit as a New Jersey resident, you cannot carry in Pennsylvania, even though they recognize Florida's license, because they only recognize it for residents of Florida. So if you're going to get the protection of reciprocity when dealing with permits, then you had better be a resident permit holder in those states. So you need to thoroughly check these things out before you travel. Make sure you get this confirmed by an attorney or from an official source. One of the things you can do is you can go online and you can contact the attorney general or the state police of that state. You can ask them, get these things, or talk to an attorney that practices gun law in those states. Some of you may have access to attorneys like that. You want to make sure that you do that, because you could become a gofu if you fail to do your recon, okay? You got to make sure that your carry that you have is accepted in that state, and or if it's a constitutional carry state, are there any other restrictions? And also keep in mind that when you're in those states, you're restricted by the restrictions of that state. So if that state restricts you going to a house of worship with your carry gun, and New Jersey, by the way, does not restrict you from your house of worship with a carry gun, it doesn't mean you can carry in a house of worship in that other state. You, when in Rome, you do as the Romans do, and that's what you must do. You must make sure you abide by the laws of the state that you're in. Again, another possible gofu that you don't want to commit. Speaking of gofus, this week's gofu is something that I encounter all the time. And it comes up, and I'm always shaking my head. Oh, man, why is this? Why is this? And, you know, our gofu, in case you didn't know, is a gun owner fuck-ups. And we call it gofu because that's what they are. And this word has taken root, taken hold. It's known now in our culture that these are mistakes that gun owners make, and I don't want you to make them. These are expensive lessons that you get to learn on the cheap by listening to the show. And the one I'm talking about today is this. Do not ask police for gun law advice. Oh, my God. I swear, don't ask police for legal advice. Okay, I made a deal a while ago with police, but they don't seem to be sticking to it. And what I said was, if they promise not to give legal advice, I promise not to arrest anybody. How's that for a deal? But instead, I constantly get folks that call and say, well, I asked, you know, the local police or the state police or this or that. I asked, you know, this officer, that officer, and they said this or that. And you cannot rely on what the police say, except under very narrow circumstances. And that is when the state police in charge of firearms specifically puts out an opinion, or the attorney general specifically puts out an opinion, then you actually have what's called a ignorance or mistake of law defense, because you're relying on an official statement. But short of an official statement, you're not going to get the protection that you think you have by simply asking a cop whether this is legal or not legal. And I hear all the time about things that they say are illegal, and in fact, they're not. In fact, they're absolutely not illegal, but for some reason, they think they are. And vice versa. I've heard many times where the officer will say that it's good to go, you're all right, when in fact, you're not. And, you know, you get jammed up because you listen to that officer. You think that officer is going to be coming to court and say, oh, yeah, I told him this wrong advice. Yeah, tell me about that. Right. You think so? I don't think so. And this is why you cannot rely on that, whether it's the legality of a certain item, whether it's, here's a good one, how to answer a question on the gun application. So many times they say, well, I asked the officer, and he said I should write no, even though the answer was yes. And then when you write no, you end up with a problem because there's somebody new doing the licensing, or somebody above got a hold of it, and they don't care that you're claiming that this is what you supposedly were told to do. Okay, you can't rely on that. And whether you can possess certain things or not, whether this is an assault firearm or not, whether, you know, the questions just go on. And look, police have a job to do, and I respect it. But giving legal advice, unless they are the agency empowered to do so, like State Police Firearms Unit, they have no business doing it. And you shouldn't put any weight or credibility on what they're saying, because they're not bound in the same way as attorneys are, and they're not trained the way attorneys are, and they're sure not gun lawyers. So be careful, beware, and this is Evan Knappen reminding you that gun laws don't protect honest citizens from criminals. They protect criminals from honest citizens.
Gun Lawyer is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, New York, New York. Reach us by emailing Evan at gun.lawyer. The information and opinions in this broadcast do not constitute legal advice. Consult a licensed attorney in your state.